San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Sunday, February 18, 2024. Today's lesson is Authentic Leadership with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a powerful song. I believe this belongs to you. Sung by Esther Nicholson. Such a powerful song. I am grateful, I am thankful, I am blessed that we as a center had Esther Nicholson here to perform this song for us before it was really out. And in playing the song for today with Authentic Leadership, I had a choice of either playing Jan Garrett singing it, who is the primary writer, or Esther Nicholson singing it as she sang it in our center. And I chose Esther for the wisdom within me that kept saying, this is Esther's song. Esther puts her heart in it. Yes, the other composers put their heart in it too, but not like Esther. And so I feel blessed that we can share that song together this morning. And we can, and we do. So let us anchor ourselves in for authentic leadership. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. It is who we are. It is what we are. It is the universe. Absolutely the universe. And so our theme for this month, for February, is the heart to lead. And today's talk being authentic leadership, when we're leading with our heart, we are already standing in the role of and performing authentic leadership. Everybody is a leader, whether they know it or not, whether they choose to be or not. Everyone is a leader. How can that be, you may wonder? There is somebody who looks up to you, who sees you as a role model, who sees you as someone to emulate. It doesn't have to be that you are a successful business person with this huge media presence and that you give talks on stages to thousands and thousands of people, that you're on TV, that you're all, you don't have to do all that to be a leader. Now, a lot of leaders do stuff like that. Cool. I'm a leader. That's my job title, spiritual leader. You are a leader. Because everything that you live, that you do, is an example of who you are. It can be challenging to think about other people watching you, seeing who you are. You think, oh no, I have to be this way or that way if people are going to follow me or people are going to believe me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You be you. That's it. That's it. It takes courage and conviction to lead from the heart. Why would I say that if I'm just saying you be you? Because it takes courage and conviction to live in accordance with your own beliefs and values. It is very easy to go along, to get along, to say, oh, well, everybody is running toward the cliff and they're all going to jump off because they're lemmings. So I'm going to fit in. I'm going to run along and go over to the edge of the cliff and I'm going to jump off because I'm afraid not to be a lemming. Instead of being afraid not to fit in, we can be grateful and courageous for being aware of exactly who we are. Each one of us is in a role of leadership to ourselves. Our higher self knows what is true and knows who we are. And we have this rare opportunity to connect with and commune with our higher self, the divine within, God, the Spirit, the Creator, that which we are. One power, one presence, one, not one plus. One. We're all one. I look at many people as authentic leaders, but I don't look at everybody as an authentic leader because I have discernment and I have experience and I have the wisdom of the one mind within. I also know that not all leaders in quotes, are leading people where I want to go. So I choose as wisely as I can. And I invite you to choose as wisely as you can. Princess Diana. Anybody ever heard of Princess Diana? The people's princess. Beautiful woman, beautiful heart. She said, I don't go by the rule book. I lead from the heart, not the head. Very powerful words. And true of her life. True of her life. Just because somebody said that's what she was supposed to do did not mean that that was what she was going to do. I remember stories about her visiting AIDS patients, and her handlers did not want her anywhere near AIDS patients because way back then, there were still questions about what it was. Was it contagious? Who were these weird people who were getting AIDS? It was a lot of very negative information. And so what did Princess Diana do? She went in and she hugged them. And her handlers freaked. But what she knew in her heart was that these people who were suffering were people just like everybody else. They needed love. They needed acceptance. They were going through something physically that was devastating their body. If she couldn't fix what was devastating their body, she could bring attention to it, worldwide attention. And she could let them know that they were loved, that people wanted to help. She could lead from the heart, not sit back at the palace and say, okay, put out a press release. We want people to donate to this charity. No, she went. She was present. She was truly herself. Authentic leadership. I've actually written about this, so I'm quoting myself. Dr. Constance Cookcore says, being authentic doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you are perfectly yourself. When we are authentic, we are living as our true selves, living from our heart. And authentic leadership means we are leading not just with our hearts, but with the wisdom of the one mind within us. So we're leading with our hearts, but we're leading with that mind that was in Christ Jesus, that one mind that is the universe, that knows all. We're leading with the resources that we are and that we have. A couple of major examples of authentic leadership are Mohandas Gandhi, that we call Mahatma Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Gandhi started out as a lawyer. Martin Luther King did not want to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. But, because his dad was a preacher. All his dad's friends were preachers. I mean, he's sitting there in like this world full of preachers. He did not want to be a preacher. But he kept preaching and realized, well, I guess I am a preacher, whether I want to be one or not. Looking at his authentic self, he could see who he was. What were some of the examples that we have from these men of their leadership, their authentic leadership? Well, Gandhi did everything that he knew how to do as a lawyer within the legal system in India to work toward home rule. He wrote letters, he wrote articles, he gave speeches, he did all kinds of stuff. And then he thought, well, that's all well and good, but what example am I giving? And so one of the rules that England made was that all of the textiles used in India had to come through England. So Gandhi started weaving his own threads, making his own fabric, and making his own clothes out of fabric that he made himself in order to not use fabric from England. Seems kind of extreme, doesn't it? Well, it was an extreme example. It truly was. Another thing that he did was there was an English rule that said you can only get salt from English suppliers. Now, when I first learned about Gandhi, I thought, who cares where they buy their salt? What I didn't realize before I studied was that salt is you walk down, especially in India, you go down to the ocean, you get the water, you let the water dehydrate, and you've got salt. Lots and lots of salt. And they made a rule saying, no, people of India descent and people who live in India, you can't do that anymore. You can't have your basic way of life anymore. You have to buy it from an English supplier. Therefore, you have to invest money and pay taxes. And Gandhi said, no. And so they had this huge march to the sea where I believe he only got like one cup of water to make salt out of, but it was the example. And he got beaten up over it and thrown in jail. He got beaten up over a lot of things and thrown in jail a lot of times. And through it all, his example was, I am not going to respond with violence. Hit me, I'll stand here. Knock me down, I'll lay on the ground. Do what you want. I will not yell at you. I will not hit you back. I will not raise a weapon. I will not tell my people to do any of that. I will tell my people, do not respond. Remain peaceful. Did you realize Martin Luther King studied Gandhi when he was in college? Yeah, he did. I think I've told you that before. And he was very impressed with the results of what Gandhi did. And so he applied that to the civil rights issues in our own country. People with black skin or dark, dark skin were being discriminated against. They were being denied their basic human rights. They were being beaten. They were being killed. They were not allowed to live in certain areas. They were not allowed to have jobs. They were not allowed to ride public transportation. They weren't even allowed to go to school with other kids, unless all the kids had the same color skin. This was not right. And Martin Luther King spoke about it, and he wrote about it. And he brought it to public attention. He gave speeches about it. And he started marching nonviolently. No anger expressed, just simply bringing the attention to these inhumane and illegal rules. Because they're unconstitutional in our nation. And yet, people were using them. They were applying them. They were harming people, and that was against the law. And the law was saying, tough. Both King and Gandhi were the epitome of peace begins with me. And we sing that song, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, at the end of our service. They lived it. They lived it. And we can be very, very grateful for that. Some of the current authentic leaders in New Thought, in my opinion, are Brother Ismael Tete in Ghana. And he is just an amazing man. He's huge. He's like, what, 6'5"? And, you know, big broad shoulders. And he wears his African garb. And when you get a hug from Brother Ismael, you are hugged with all the love in the world. It is a life-changing hug with this man. And his smile, I have never seen the man not smiling. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so smiled. I've never seen them smile before. I've never seen Brother Ismael not smiling. He is joy and love. Another authentic leader in New Thought is Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith from Agape International. Interesting story. Michael Beckwith took a group of people over to Ghana from Culver City, Santa Monica area, took them over to Ghana. He's going around and he runs into Brother Ishmael, or he runs into some of his disciples, and the disciples take him to Brother Ishmael, and Brother Ishmael says, "Are you the man I've been waiting for?" And Michael looks at him and says, "Yes." And thus began a great collaboration. A great collaboration that is ongoing to this day. Brother Ishmael believes we will have peace on earth in his time. He really believes that. I'm glad he's still here. Another one is Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn of San Diego. She is an authentic leader. She was the senior minister at Pacific Church for Religious Science here in San Diego, and we called it PCRS. And she was the leader of the Holmes Institute in San Diego, which was also housed at PCRS back then. She became the spiritual leader of our international movement and oversaw the integration of United Church for Religious Science and Religious Science International, getting them back together. And she is now affiliated with Holmes Institute again up in Encinitas. So yeah, she's an authentic leader. Yesterday, I'm going to take a side here. Yesterday was Random Acts of Kindness Day, and we are in the midst of Random Acts of Kindness Week, which starts on Valentine's Day and goes to the 20th, so it's 2/14 to 2/20. And it's a celebration of all the ways we can be a positive influence in others' lives. It ties in well with the Season for Nonviolence, which is January 30th to April 4th. It was started by Ann Herbert in 1982. It's been around a long time, hasn't it? She wrote on a placemat. She was at a restaurant. She wrote, "Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty." And when you think about that, it's like, wow, that's deep. Where did that come from? Interestingly enough, it came in response to another phrase that was going around about random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. I did not look this up, but I remember that being said, and I don't remember the context, but we're looking at the late 70s, early 80s, okay? Random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. So Anne is sitting there and she's going, no, I don't think so. What can I do with my aim of putting an end to violence? What can I say? And what she could say was, practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And that was an authentic step that she took. She eventually wrote a book. And so her purpose in this was to be authentic in her life, in her commitment to ending violence. She was leading authentically. So I have a question for you. Do you have to agree with everything an authentic leader says?
No.
No. Correct answer. Do you have to agree with everything, every position an authentic leader holds on any issue? No, absolutely not. Say, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Amen. You don't. Absolutely you don't. Because there are some people who are authentically leading people into a realm where I look at and go, not mine. Not mine. Mine's over here. You have that. You bless you. Enjoy it. Make your life happy with it. But no, that's not for me. Mine's over here. Why? Because we have the one mind. We have the one mind. We have free will. I will advise you to be courteous and peaceful with these people who are leading in directions you or I don't choose to follow. Respect that they have the right to hold their own views and their own beliefs. And so do you. You get to choose. Just because there's one mind doesn't mean that we're all in a big think-alike contest. In fact, when I was working for the government, keep in mind, I was the only female, right? All the other engineers and mathematicians and scientists were men. Right? So if I would say something just off the cuff in conversation, you know, not something technical, I would say something and then somebody would walk into the room a little later and be presented with the same kind of a situation. They said something very similar, which was just normal. There was a guy who would say, oh my God, you won the C-Cube Think-Alike Award. That's what they called me, you know, engineering environment, CCC, C cubed, mathematical. Remember, we all have choices. We all have choices. Emerson said, to thine own self be true. One of the primary examples of authentic leadership is the leadership of the divine, of God, of Spirit, of our Creator, leading us with the wisdom that is provided to us. We have free will. It is a gift. It is inherent within us. That free will also comes with the universe always saying, yes. Yes, you choose that? Yes. And I go, I choose that? Yes. By having free will and having the universe say yes all the time, that allows us to experience our choices. And you may ask, shouldn't we be protected from our poor choices? No. No. How could we be? If the universe always says yes, then when we choose, we get an experience. If we could not choose, how could we ever learn anything? How would we ever grow? Besides, who gets to judge what's poor and what's not poor of our choices? I'm not going to give anybody else the control over me to say that my choices are good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. I'm going to have an experience based on my choices, and then I get to tell myself, oh, that was a bad idea. Or that was an excellent idea. James in the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 25, says, but those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. We experience our choices. We take action and we experience the results of that action. In the Daily Word, this is from Monday, January 16th, 2017. The title is, I am divinely inspired as I pursue my goals and dreams. When Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke the words, I have a dream, he opened a dialogue encouraging us to live in harmony with one another. His dream was a powerful one, and he followed that vision with dedication and faith. For any dream to be fulfilled, there must be action taken. I cannot hope that the universe will transpire to bring about my goals. I must act, pursue, and above all else, live in faithful awareness. Living in faithful awareness means living authentically. I'm dedicated and purposeful toward achieving my goal. When I include God in my pursuit of dreams, I can be assured that I am guided to the people, places, and circumstances that ensure success. Yes, yes. I would like to close with something very brief from the Science of Mind textbook. And Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. Thank you, Noble, for your quote from page 477 today. It inspired me to go look at page 477, and I found something additional that I want to share with you. Ernest writes, let us feel that our purposes are animated and inspired from on high. And then let us go forth and make our dream come true in human experience. With an invisible intelligence to guide and an immutable law to direct, let us take our place in any legitimate activity and thus cause our dreams to come to full fruition. Our dreams come to full fruition. As we are our authentic selves, as we have the courage and the conviction to be exactly as we are, and to simply know that leadership, authentic leadership, always comes from the heart. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste. Namaste.